Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Hour number two, Kyle Bailey joined by Will Stewart and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. They join us every Friday in the second hour. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Excellent.
Good to hear it. Good to hear it. All right. It's hot in here.
Yes.
It's hot. If you've never been in the studio, which clearly most of you haven't, it's whatever the temperature is outside, that's the temperature, you know, inside. It's why in the winter I'm probably wearing overalls in a radio studio. It's why in the summertime, as Will suggested earlier, I may very well be sitting in my underwear because it's really, really hot in here right now.
I remember we did one show and the temperature in here was in the high 40s.
Yeah, it was pleasant, wasn't it? Like, you could literally hear teeth chattering on the air. So that these are the conditions we're dealing with. But we'll march on. We'll be okay. Courtside at Castle. Let's start there. How about that? Announced an initiative. Was it this morning, as a matter of fact?
It was this morning at 10 o'clock when they announced.
I couldn't remember if it was last night or this morning. It all runs together anymore. But, Courtside at Castle. We're being displaced. We being the media, the royal we.
Can I say something first? I love the off season. We can take something like this, which is really a minor story. Yeah. We can chew on this for 15 minutes.
Well, that's true. But how minor is it though? Because first of all, we're being displaced and relocated.
Yeah.
Being the media,
the royal we, the media being displaced, which you know I don't love, but at the same time I understand it. You know where we, the media, would have normally sat, there will be. I'll let you guys explain it, but I mean tables for you know, high-dollar folks to pay $20,000 for courtside seating. There's a concierge involved, which is exciting. Yep. There's going to be a concierge or five in Castle Coliseum.
Fancy French word.
Fancy French word. Well, I guess private entrances, VIP parking.
Yeah.
All kinds of good stuff. 20 grand gets you a nice little experience here for the season.
Yeah, it does. And I think it's just a sign of where we are in college athletics these days. The rising scholarships every year. Cost of attendance is $950,000 a year, I think, or something like that. And those numbers aren't going to be getting any smaller. So you have to create new revenue streams if you're Whit Babcock, and this is one of the ways to do that. If you can sell all these tables, then that's an extra, $280,000 a year? That's a lot of money. You can pay for over one quarter of your cost of attendance just through those things. And I think it's a pretty attractive deal if you've got $20,000 laying around. It's tax deductible, and if it's like your Hokie Club donation, it's 80% tax deductible.
Right.
So I don't know exactly how that stuff works, but it's just you got to find ways to maximize your revenue these days because there's always something new that you have to pay for.
Yeah.
And this arms race is really the age we're living in. If you're not trying to create new revenue streams, taking that new revenue and putting it right back into your programs, then you're going to fall behind and lose.
Yeah. Will?
Well, this led to a lot of discussion about where the student, you know, the great thing about talking about Castle Coliseum is although there are a lot of empty seats there on game day, it is a passionate source of conversation among Virginia Tech fans about how things are done in Castle. Should we replace Castle? Should we refurb Castle? Blah, 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 et cetera. It's always a great topic of discussion. And so this mushroomed in over on our Facebook page, a woman who's been on our site since she was a girl. I remember she was a Tech student. She started being like a Tech Sideline fan way back in the early 2000s. Graduating, got married, and she said something to the effect of, oh, great, that's more people who will sit there and won't stand up and won't clap, you know. Okay, that's a valid concern. I told her, listen, that's a valid concern, but you're talking about Media Row where people just sat there and didn't clap anyway.
Not only that, you're talking about people who are going to be forking over $20,000 to sit courtside at Virginia Tech basketball games. So that would indicate they want to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ultimately, what it comes down to for me is, although this information was given to us, there was no indication of exactly what it's going to look like.
Sure.
None of that stuff. So, it's fun to talk about, but let's wait and see how it actually gets implemented before we start, as we like to do, passing judgment on
it. Yeah, that's right. And I think, the word construction, it implies there's a makeover coming, a facelift
tearing
coming.
Something down and
exactly. There's some sort of facelift coming to make it look good. They're not going to be rolling out card tables, with some Dixie cups.
That's the image I've got in my head. And it just looks so silly. I know that's not going to be it,
right? But I mean, I saw it and I said, "Well, how the hell?" And then I saw construction. Mm. I said, "Okay, so this is going to be a complete facelift. They're going to relocate us in the media above the tunnel, I guess. Which."
In the corner, I think, probably.
Berman's not going to be able to see. The bucket's going to be back there and everything. It's just not going to be good. But he's going to complain. But again, I think it's going to be something where look, if, as the basketball product is being built and improved, you know, why not do it, whatever you can to improve the in-arena experience? And we've seen them already doing that, you know, with the lighting and all these other things they've been doing, a lot of the great multimedia stuff that's happening in Castle. To me, it may not be a home run. It might be. It may not be a home run, but it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so. And it'll be something different. I think it's kind of a futures bet. You know, maybe you don't expect to sell all these things this year, but what if we're in this, you know, start making NCAA tournaments every other year or more than that, and all of a sudden that becomes a hotter ticket.
Yeah.
We're saying more people are willing to buy those.
And you're bidding for it. You know, it's $25,000, $30,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
This isn't even going to be visible on TV anyway.
No.
TV concentrates on the benches. You're talking about the other side. Now, if you've ever watched a Pittsburgh Panthers basketball game on TV, they have what I call the veranda, you know, where the
sounds
TV
fancy.
Cameras point. They've got almost like a floor-level luxury box that's probably 8 or 10 feet tall, and it's almost like a patio with some tables and stuff. That's what it looks like when you watch a Pitt Panthers game. It's kind of weird, but you're not going to be seeing any of that at Virginia Tech games. You know, they're going to continue to show what they've always shown, which is the benches and the empty seats behind the benches.
Yeah, you might get the occasional shot, you know, when they go to camera 7.
Sure,
but, you know, that's,
yeah.
Everyone's going to be hidden, and like, veranda. That sounds fancy. Get they have verandas and concierges at Pitt?
No, I got to look it up and make sure that I used it correctly.
Maybe it's a terrace. Could be a terrace.
Could be a terrace.
Yeah.
And another point here is when you're selling advertising, and let's say you don't sell all of these tables to regular fans, and you're trying to sign a big corporate sponsorship deal for hundreds of thousands of dollars or something like that. You can throw in one of these tables.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
As a deal breaker and things like that. So while we're sitting here
saying, deal maker.
There you go.
Exactly. So I think you just give yourself a lot more options. You give yourself a lot more money making potential. And I've heard that they're going to be redoing some of the suites in Lane Stadium or indoor club seats in Lane Stadium or something
in,
like
in,
that.
Now, we talking West Tower? Are we talking South End Zone?
West, I guess. Or maybe both if I had.
Really?
I think that when we heard that, they were referring to the indoor club seats. Or the indoor there's an outdoor club and an indoor club, and I think they were referring to the clubs. I'm not sure it meant luxury boxes.
Right.
Yeah, I spent some time in the South End Zone. I'd never been in those suites in the South End Zone until recently. Pretty nice. Pretty nice stuff over there.
Yeah,
I've been fortunate enough to spend a few games here and there and those things. I know some guys who, you know, have the boxes and they'll invite you in. And I still, after being – these things have been there in the South End Zone since 02 and on the west side since 05. And I've been up there probably 5 to 8 times in one of those boxes. I'm still not sure what I think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I
went in, and first of all, I didn't know Bimbo Coles had a box over there.
Oh, I didn't know.
So I walked
in the south, huh?
Yeah, in the south end zone. So I walked in there and looked around, and I texted him. I said, "Yeah, I just trashed your box, man. You might want to clean that up next time you're around." No, they're really nice back there, though. That's why I was, you know, that was the next question I was going to ask is, you know, I often hear, you know, visiting media, visiting NFL scouts. I've actually had 2 or 3 NFL scouts comment on just how nice Virginia Tech's press area is and that tower and how accommodating it is comparatively. Like, I'm not going to tear down somewhere else, but. Like, the first time I went to Clemson, I was stunned at how not as nice
not
it was.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, as how not as nice Clemson's setup was as Lane Stadium's is.
Yeah.
And Virginia's awful. It's actually exposed to the elements.
Yeah, that's bad enough.
And it's very shallow. You know, when we worked the UVA game, I guess, where were they last year? Last year they were in Lane Stadium. The year before when they were in Scott Stadium.
Cold.
I mean, it was cold and you're crammed in there.
Yes, you are. So. Yes, you are. And Georgia Tech's the same way.
It's all about revenue, man. And, you know, Virginia Tech's club seats have not sold out in recent years. As far as I know, their suites are still sold out. I guess all those suites are sold out. But the club seats have not. So
I don't think they ever sold out.
So if you want a chance to maximize your revenue, you want to make those things as nice as possible.
You know what else helps? Good football.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Scoring points, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, an offense worth watching.
Yeah.
That certainly helps. And that's what's going to be critical for this program moving forward is you have a passionate fan base, but you have one that also has within it, you know, a growing sub-faction, if you will, of apathetic fans, you know, And a lot of them are younger, which is not good. You know, that's why it's so critically important, I think, for things to get turned around and to be turned around post haste, because you can't allow the to allow real apathy to set in, you know, amongst the younger fan base. And I'm not just talking about the students because they're all too drunk to remember most of the games anyway. I'm talking about, you know, the 20, 30, early 40-year-olds that are going to become your next, you know, big-time donors and boosters. You can't allow that apathy to set in.
Well, and not
otherwise,
to,
you'll never sell out those suites.
Mm. Yeah. Not to be overly dramatic about it because I could never see this happening with Virginia Tech football, but basically from 1987 to the mid-2000s, Virginia Tech basketball wasn't good.
Right.
They had a brief stretch in the mid-90s, but for 20 years, that's an entire generation plus of people. Virginia Tech basketball wasn't good. And so they graduated students for 20 years who just didn't care about basketball. And that's coming home to roost.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you don't want to create that culture of losing because that creates problems for you long term. So we had a culture there of winning 10 games every year and people got used to it. Now we're kind of getting a culture of winning 6 or 8 games every year offense being bad. And I you're right. It makes people apathetic.
No doubt.
If Virginia Tech goes out there and goes 6-6 again this year with an offense ranked between 90 and 100, that's an entire class of students who for 4 years watched 500-level football with bad offense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is an entire class that just after it's done will go, really? That's what all the fuss was about?
Mm-hmm. That's not good. That's not good. And that's the thing. I think the entire 4 years that I was there, 10 wins or more every season.
Yeah.
10 wins, 11 wins, ACC championship. I mean, I watched a couple of ACC championships. I mean, obviously I'm different because of what I do. And, you know, we have to have this, you know, at least this facade of objectivity and all these other things. But, I mean, still, you know, I at least got to see it.
Yeah.
These kids, though, they didn't get to live the culture.
I thought I was bad luck when I got here in 2001. The previous 2 years were 99 and 2000, you know, one loss in the regular season
right.
in those 2 years. And then my first 3 years is, I guess, the 8-4 year where we went to the Gator Bowl, then the Diamond Walnut Bowl, and then the Insight Bowl. So pretty much 3 years in a row of football that we weren't used to. We go from Michael Vick to this. And then I thought I was bad luck, but then finally we won the ACC my senior year.
In those 3 years he's talking about, 2001 to 2003, Virginia Tech went 11-10 in the Big East.
Yeah.
And that included a Big East that had Rutgers and Temple in it.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So.
That's
bad memories.
Yeah, that's just not that's bad to hear. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Still more to get to with Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.